had a little phone problem there. We got it fixed, so if you tried to call in and got a busy signal, we got the lines unlocked. I don't know what I hit, but it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Has anyone, you know, when we're live on the air, I don't see a lot of news. And during the news breaks of the stations, I don't hear the news either because the way we syndicate this show through Skyview, it's Cajun music. That way all the engineers at each of the station know that we're still connected, but they don't accidentally get the wrong station news on air.
And we turn the TVs off in studio so we're not distracted.
What'd the rodent say? Isn't it Groundhog Day?
Oh, that's right. Ah. Let's find out.
So is it early spring or more winter forecast? Stop the music. Here is my forecast. Faithful followers, there is no shadow of me. A beautiful spring it shall be.
Oh, everybody in the Midwest deserves a beautiful spring. Jeez, polar
vortex. I don't
think
they're buying it right now, though.
Yeah, we'll find out how accurate it is this year.
Let's put an asterisk by that. The rodents only correct 40% of the time. So, he's below average.
And wouldn't you also have to say that the interpretation of the person from what the rodent is saying could be wrong, too? How the heck do they know?
Yeah, unless this guy in the top hat's really nuts, or lonely. One or the other.
If I cared, I would find out how that tradition got started and what they're seeing and all that. But does it really matter?
You know what? Just
cute. It's a funny movie.
It's probably now one of my favorite films of all time. Just watch Groundhog Day. Watch the movie and just laugh.
There are plenty of those in that. It is a good movie. I missed this earlier. I meant to mention in our outdoor living hour, but we had so much content, I blew right through it. The Mesa East Valley Rose Society auction is going on today. Perfect time right ahead of Valentine's Day. And I talked to Ryan yesterday to help answer a question Barry had written in about having rose bushes at over 6 feet tall. They've grown to about 6 feet in height. The problem is they become very stalky on the bottom half. They're very leafy. The flowers are on top. If I trim them down a third or a half to current height, will it force out new growth? And the answer is yes, and the rose blooms on the new growth. So that's exactly what you would do to bring the bushes and the flowers back to the bottom portion. Ryan also said, take down anything that's smaller than a pencil. Go ahead and trim that off. And the sooner you do the trimming, the faster you'll have blooms. You want to make that cut at a 45-degree angle above the bud eye. And you can get out to the Mesa Community College today. The auction, it opens at 10. The auction starts at 11. And if you mention Rosie, they have a discounted price for you today. So there's one option to getting locally grown, or some of them aren't even local, I don't think. They've got all kinds of exotic roses that they auction off just in time for Valentine's Day. Monrovia also had a neat publication on alternate plants you could use for different Valentine's Day gifts, whether, you know, might not be a spouse that you're giving it to, might be a parent or a sibling, the different types of plants you could give and all the different places you could buy that. So big grower. Most of our local nurseries have Monrovia plants in their gardens somewhere.
We also learned that it's not only called Valentine's Day, it's called Galentine's Day. Oh, how hip.
Yeah, that was something new that came across the desk last week. I haven't really looked into it, but Valentine's Day, I'm assuming that's because it's more for the women anyway, Galentine's Day. You can find details to the Mesa Rose Auction at rosieonthehouse.com in our events tab, along with other great events. Next weekend is the 51st annual Wickenburg Gold Rush Days. We caught some slack from listeners last week when we were talking about different parades and festivals.
We did?
That Gold Rush didn't get mentioned. We didn't mention Wickenburg Gold Rush Day. So.
I think we did.
I don't know. I didn't re-listen to the podcast. It's one of those things, we probably mentioned it enough, we thought we did. A lot of these other events and festivals were ones we hadn't mentioned before.
Well, it wasn't our list. Remember, that was a debate.
Right.
Like, who gets to decide which of the top of the top, whoever makes the list.
Mm-hmm. And next Saturday. I'm getting confused here. Parada del Sol Rodeo, which, by the way, I do have proof there has been a cattle drive at the Parada del Sol in the 60-plus years they've had it.
Okay.
It's a black-and-white photo that I found in the Historical Society page in Scottsdale. And you got, I don't think they're longhorn cattle, but there they are just marching through Old Town.
So, and our right now at RosieOnTheHouse.com, if you enter this staycation, the destination is Wickenburg for the month of March. But the Gold Rush Days is next weekend. It's a nice short drive from Phoenix, a nice little western town. They've done a good job with putting mannequins along different parts of the downtown area. And you hit a button and it's Marshall Trimble explaining, you know, why this person's chained to this tree. They've got the jail tree because they didn't have a jail, so they used to just get chained to this big mesquite tree. And a miner walking down the street with a mule. So you could hit the little button and the little Marshall give you a little history about it in the downtown area. Back to home improvement, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. I was supposed to give away our tickets last break. I completely blew through it. What was the trivia question from the newsletter? Who has their newsletter handy? This one was actually specifically for the trivia, and it's in our, you know what?
It's in our calendar that you have right there.
Grand Canyon National Park was founded when? If you know the answer to that question, you have to have month and date. It's in our home maintenance calendar. If you don't have a physical copy, you can look it up online at rosieonthehouse.com. Under Home Improvement Resources, select calendar, click on February, and it'll give you a nice blown-up PDF version. And you can see when Grand Canyon National Park was founded. All right answers can text that to 411-923.
And what do they win?
State park passes. Two.
Okay.
Two state park passes. They're good from now through the end of the year to any one of Arizona's 35 state parks. I apologize. We put it in the newsletter. It's at 9:20, and I blew right through it. Let's get to our weekly how-to. It's pests. If you look at the home maintenance calendar, you'll see on the bottom portion, this is the month to do what around your house. And we're going to start with pest control here for, going into the warmer months, especially with the amount of rain that we have had here in the state of Arizona, the amount of weeds that my goats are rapidly eating as fast as I move their pen from one to the next, it creates a great breeding environment for bugs and insects and rodents and fill in the blank. So the more we can do now to clean up our yards, clean up debris, clean up weeds, the better the bug control will be coming up in the coming months. If you've got weekly bug service, that's great. But it's kind of like spraying your trees for olives. If you spray your trees for olives to prevent olive production, the first thing you do is trim the olive tree so you use less product and less chemical, and that's cheaper that way. So if you clean up your yard, get your weeds removed, clean up trash piles, eliminate environments and habitats that breed insect and bug growth, the less we have to apply and treat for later. We've also got a lot of things inside the home, bed bugs, dust mites, roaches, crickets that live inside the home, keeping the inside of our homes clean, keeping food picked up and clean, those
laundry
beautiful
off the floor.
Areas that behind the refrigerator, underneath the laundry room that just collect, that is out of our normal working and reach. Getting those areas picked up and clean help contribute to less insects. The less we can have for them to live on, the less there will be.
And just making sure your thresholds have the little, what do you call those? Go across just the threshold cover so things can't, because they can get in, those little critters can get in just nothing. And aren't crickets food for scorpions?
Yes.
Yeah, so you don't want crickets. They may seem harmless.
And one funny thing that we've seen is Nathan Wolf from Blue Sky Pest Control was saying when we had him on air this has been a little while ago, but he said one of the things that we're finding now is if we're treating for spiders, we start seeing all the little insects that spiders eat show up. And those are a different type and a different exoskeleton. So what they use to treat for spiders doesn't eliminate what spiders live on either. So it's and so much of the chemicals they use nowadays are less harmful than table salt.
Wow.
With the demand for environmentally friendly and the reduction of hazardous chemicals, much of what they're applying is less is table salt is a bigger threat.
Well, Blue Sky's really good about when they come, they ask you what you've seen so they can be sure and treat in the right direction.
Which is hard because what you see can be subjective in translation. Try and grab a picture. Pictures help.
True.
If you're brave enough to get close enough to take one.
Mm.
Salt rifle?
Salt rifle.
The little gun that you can put a table salt in and shoot flies with?
Julia has one and says they work great. I said, well, doesn't that create a lot of salt? She's like, you would think so, but it must shoot it fast enough that the salt just disintegrates into powder. She says, I'm never sweeping up salt, but we use it for insect control. But I will say they're in Minnesota, and right now there's absolutely no insects anywhere, so they probably use it one-fifth of the time we would have to use it. And when we get into the summer months, one-hundredth of the time we would have to use it. Gary, you had a story about Sedona and the housing situation that's happening there.
This is something I just caught up with this past week. There seems to be a little bit of a problem in Sedona, that is locals versus visitors. Now, of course, people from around the world come to visit Sedona, but the problem they're having is affordable housing, even for folks that want to move to Sedona and live there and bring their kids and go to school and whatnot. And the problem is they seem to have more short-term rentals than regular homeowners in Sedona. What that leads to is, for Airbnb and Vrbo, if you want to rent a house for the week and whatnot, that's led to a housing shortage.
Because they make more money turning it to an Airbnb than selling it.
Correct. Right. And, you know, if you want to live and even retire in Sedona and become a Sedona citizen or live in the town, it's the housing's starting to get very thin.
And there's no restrictions on Airbnb. There was some legislature that passed within the last year that didn't let municipalities put a ban on people
right.
doing
that. And Sedona, initially, the city council did put a ban on those, but then the governor signed into law that, no, you can't do that. So it's an interesting case in Sedona. I'm still reading up on it, but I would have never thought, and I guess depending on the size of the town, that short-term rentals would take over regular homeowners.
Just one more thing that we deal with our housing situation here. It's, just the evolution of homeownership and government and politics here at Arizona. And that's what we spend the open line hour here at Rosie on the House covering, along with your questions at 1-888-767-4348.